الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من تمسك بسنتي عند فساد أمتي فله أجر 100 شهيد. وقال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أحب سنتي فقد أحبني، ومن أحبني كان معي في الجنة، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Respected ulama, elders, young friends, brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granting us the tawfiq to organize this 20th annual youth conference at the Islamic Dawah Academy, and also for granting us the opportunity to participate. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant it acceptance, grant all of us acceptance, and may He make it a means of hidayah and salvation in the hereafter. until we depart from this world with iman. Until we are granted our book of deeds in our right hands on the day of Qiyamah, and until the time when we are saved from the fire of Jahannam and granted entry into Jannah, we cannot claim to be successful. It is the sheer grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He instills love for us into the hearts of the people. And they see our good only. And due to this love, they fail to see our shortcomings. And they say things regarding us which is far from reality. He is a very pious personality. He is a person of piety. He is an embodiment of ilm and amal. Through him so many people have been guided. As far as they are concerned, for this amal of theirs, they will be rewarded in the hereafter. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has taught us to only look at the good aspects of people and mention only those good aspects. Always entertain good thoughts regarding other people. This is the teaching of our Sharia. Because on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not compel you to furnish proof for any good thought that you had entertained regarding your Muslim brother. He is a pious person. He is a person of piety. He is someone who adheres to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is a very truthful person. When a person entertains good thoughts regarding another Muslim brother, a Muslim sister, a group of Muslims, on the day of Qiyamah, when the book of deeds will be opened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not say, "You thought regarding a particular person this and this, furnish proof." He will not say whether that good existed in him or not for entertaining a good thought regarding a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him. And as far as a suspicious thought is concerned, a negative thought, I think he consumes alcohol. His face tells it. Looking at his eyes, I think he consumes drugs. He has all the signs in his eyes of a person who consumes drugs. Physically, his face is changing, he consumes drugs. But we have no proof. We have not seen him consume drugs. Suspicious thought, negative thought. On the day of Qiyamah, we will have to furnish proof in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person walks out of a pub, but you have not seen him consume alcohol. And you entertain suspicious thoughts regarding that person, that he consumes alcohol. On the day of Qiyamah, you will have to furnish proof. And if a person is unable to furnish proof for a suspicious thought, he will be punished for that. The person you are looking at with suspicious thoughts, he is in reality involved in that evil. But you have no proof. So he will be punished and questioned for his evil, but you will be questioned and punished for your suspicious thoughts. He was consuming alcohol. Fine. A thousand times he committed this crime. But what proof do you have? When you were entertaining suspicious thoughts, what proof did you have at that time? Good thoughts will bring reward in the hereafter. A person will not have to furnish proof. Suspicious thoughts will become a means of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's questioning. And a person will have to furnish proof. Why don't we take the easier path? Think good about everybody. So those people who think good about us, those people who love us, those people who admire us, alhamdulillah, they are carrying out a good deed. But their good thoughts, their good words should not make us forget our reality. Imam Awza'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, when someone used to praise him, he used to say, Allahumma anta a'lamu bi min nafsi. Within his heart he used to say. If a person is praising him, and whilst the person is praising him, his heart is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they hear their praises, they engage in istighfar. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Look at my state and look what he is saying. Look at my state and look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is concealing my faults. So they repent. They try to connect themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, forgive me. From today, I will live my life according to your wishes. You love me so much. Despite all my wrongdoings, people are praising me. You are concealing me with your veil of concealment. I always say to my friends, when people praise us, they are not praising us. They are praising the veil of concealment that Allah has placed upon us. If Allah was to remove that veil of concealment, never mind praising us, people would not even want to see us.
So the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they engage in either istighfar or they engage in the hamd and shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Awza'i rahimahullahu ta'ala used to, when praised in the public, say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma anta a'lamu bi min nafsi. Oh Allah, you are more aware of me than myself. You are more aware of my good and you are more aware of my evil than even myself. There are so many wrongs that we do, we will only know on the day of Qiyamah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enumerate our evil, then only we will realize. Because whilst in this world, shaitan deceives us in many ways. And one way of shaitan deceiving us is that he makes us see our good only. He keeps us completely neglectful of the evil that lies within us. It is for this reason, when we backbite, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us from this filth. When we backbite, when we talk about other people, we will mention so many faults that exist in our lives without even realizing that these faults exist in my life. It is a deceit of shaitan that he makes us see our good only, and he makes us neglectful of the evil that lie within us. And he will only make us see the evil of other people. And he will make us neglectful of the good that lie within other people. Our mashayikh teach us, the experts in spirituality, they teach us to always look at your own faults. Man arafa nafsahu faqad arafa rabbahu. One who recognized his plus and minus points, these are the negative points in my life, I need to rectify them. And these are the positive points in my life, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, I should remain steadfast. I should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One who recognizes himself, his good, his evil, he will become the arif of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will acquire the marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will very quickly recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will very quickly become the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wise people say that when you point one finger at somebody else, then three fingers are pointing towards you. If I see one fault in somebody else, then I will be able to find three faults in myself, or even more. For how long do we see each other? We meet some once a week, we meet some 1 hour per week, some 5 hours per week, some maybe a few hours per day. Our life is in front of us 24 hours a day. If we worry about ourselves and look for faults in our life, we will be able to see more faults in our lives than anybody else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not question us regarding other people in the grave. Allah will not question us on the day of Qiyamah regarding other people. What good did he have? What evil did he have? Allah will question us for our deeds, for our good, our evil. So Imam Auza'i rahimahullah ta'ala used to say, Allahumma anta a'lamu bi min nafsi. O Allah, you know me more better than I know myself. These people are praising me. They are saying good things about me. But you know me better than I know myself. You know myself better than you. Only on the day of Qiyamah will I be able to realize my true worth. It is for this reason a great scholar, Shaykh Maulana Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he used to give an example of a few slaves sitting together, and out of the five, four of them praising the fifth one. Because he was the most handsome, he was the cleverest, the most intelligent. He was the most beloved to his master. Everybody used to admire this slave. He's very intelligent, very clever, very strong, very healthy, very handsome. See, the other four are praising him. You are like this, you are like this, you are like this, you are like this. You have this quality, you have this quality, you have this quality, you have this quality. Nowadays when people praise us, we forget our reality. Despite all the filth that lie within our lives, if somebody says Hazrat, we actually believe that I am Hazrat. When people ask us to make dua for them, make dua for me please. Only because of our outer appearance and outer attire. We know what we do in the darkness of the night. We know how we dress when we are alone. We know our hypocritical behavior. We pretend to be religious when we are amongst our friend circle. We know the filth that is in our lives. But despite that, if somebody says, make dua for me, we become very happy. Very happy. We don't feel embarrassed. There is no haya, no shame that I am fooling people. What will happen on the day of Qiyamah when this very person will see me being dragged in the fire of Jahannam? What will happen to me? How will I show my face to these people who think I am very pious? My whole locality, 500 musallis who perform salat in this masjid, they think I am very pious only because I perform every salat in the first row. Only because of the way I dress. In fact, many of the good deeds that we carry out is to impress people only. And to make them believe that I am pious and I am religious. It is not for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not be fooled by the praises of other people. We should always keep ourselves focused on our actual status. What good do I have? What evil do I have? Am I ready to face the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I ready to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I ready to face my Creator? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say on the day of Qiyamah, وَامْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ, O criminal, separate yourselves from the pious ones. In which group will I find myself if I live, continue to live the type of life that I am living now? Only because of this shawl on the head, only because of this imama and turban on the head, only because of this jubba, only because of my being the imam of the masjid, only because I continually go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only because I engage continually in dawah and tabligh, because I am associated to a particular sheikh who looks at me with affection and love and admiration, because of this concealment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon me, should I become a victim of superiority complex? And should I forget what truly I am? No, my friends. No. Al-Qayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. The clever one is he who controls his nafs. No, I am not Hadrat. I know I am not Hadrat. Because I backbite. I know I am not Hadrat. Because I am involved in the sin of lustful gazes. I know I am not Hadrat because I have jealousy in my heart. I know I am not Hadrat because I watch films. I know I am not Hadrat because I watch filthy things on the internet. I know I am not Hadrat because my source of income is not halal. I know I am not Hadrat because I am a hypocrite. I behave differently in public and differently inside. When I perform salat in the masjid, the quality of my salat is different from my salat, the quality of salat when I am performing at home. In the masjid I perform sunnah ghair muakkada, sunnah muakkada, nafl, everything. But if I am sick, if I am unable to come to the masjid, and if I am performing the very same salat at home, I don't perform sunnah ghair muakkada. I don't perform nafal. When I am in the masjid, tasbihat after salat. When I am at home, I don't do all that. My salat in the masjid is different from my salat at home. My tasbihat and my zikra and my tilawat is different in the masjid from my tasbihat and zikra and tilawat at home. My akhlaq in the masjid is different from my akhlaq at home. My behavior in the public is different from my behavior at home. He will definitely be rewarded in the hereafter for seeing me as a hadrat, seeing me as a pious person, seeing me as a good person, because he will be rewarded for his good thoughts. But I am not a good person. I know I am not a good person. A sick person will only be cured, my friends, if he concentrates on his sicknesses, on his illnesses. If he is always concentrating on the good side of his health, my eyes are perfect, my ears are perfect, there is nothing wrong with my teeth, there is nothing wrong with my head, there is nothing wrong with my hand, and there is pain in the stomach, he doesn't pay attention to that pain in the stomach. He will not be cured. He will not live for long. When it comes to the physical aspects of our lives, what do? When we talk to people, do we say, Alhamdulillah, my eyes have been perfect for the last 10 years. Nothing has happened to my eyes. Do we ever say that to people? We always talk about the negative aspects of our physical health. With this thought process that maybe he will pray for me and Allah will cure me. Maybe he has some guidance for me. Maybe he knows a doctor. He may guide me to this doctor. Maybe someone in his family has gone through the same problem. We always talk about our illnesses, sicknesses. Illnesses and sicknesses of our families. We don't talk about the good sides of our physical health. When we go to the doctor, we mention every small detail that is bothering us, which is from the medical point of view completely insignificant. There are so many symptoms that we mention to the doctor which is insignificant. As far as the doctor is concerned, it's just normal for somebody who is recovering from a particular illness. But still, every day we phone the doctor that today I'm experiencing this and last night I was experiencing this. Always complaining about the negative aspects of our physical life. But when it comes to our spiritual life, our deeni life, we talk only about the positive aspects. Alhamdulillah, for the last 10 years I have been performing tahajjud salat. A great sheikh and a great scholar, Khalifa of Hazrat Hakimul Ummah, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahimahullah Ta'ala, Sheikh Masihullah Khan Rahimahullah Ta'ala. He says that people when they write to their mashayikh, because Sheikh is our consultant, he is our doctor, who guides us towards good spiritual health. So we should write to him and we should let him know that this is what I am suffering from. So in the words of Hadrat, Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala, in Urdu, he used to say that the murid, when they write their ahwal, their conditions, their spiritual conditions, they write only rangin halat, rangin, colorful conditions. They don't write sangin halat, sangin, very, very dangerous conditions. I am performing salat, I am doing zikr continuously, regularly, I am doing this, I am doing that. Is that what the doctor is there for? This is because, my friends, we are not concerned about the hereafter. We have not understood the concept of deen. There is no fear. There is no fear that Alhamdulillah, everything is perfect except one. There is only one deficiency in my life. Let's assume that if that was the case. If that was the case, that everything is perfect from head to toe. There is only one problem. I suffer from hasad and jealousy. Any person with the right understanding of the deen and the true concern of the hereafter will not rest in peace, because he will feel that this one illness is enough to destroy me in the hereafter. Just one illness, hasad. Hasad, spiritual illness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Iyaka wal hasad. Iyaka wal hasad. This phrase, Iyaka, Iyaka, when is this phrase used? When it is a life and death situation. For example, if there is a lion roaming in the street and a person is about to leave the home, he has just woken up from his sleep, he doesn't know what's happening outside, and he's about to leave his home, the people in the home will say, Iyaka wal asad, Iyaka wal asad. Save yourself from the lion. Don't go outside. There is a lion outside. In desperation, a person will say, Iyaga walasad. Save yourself from the lion. That is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to the ummah, Iyaka wal hasad. And every heart is victim to this illness. Illa man rahima rabbi. We cannot see the progress of our Muslim brothers. We cannot see our Muslim brother in a good situation. So much so that even among the religious circles, Allahu Akbar, hasad in regard to deen. Why is this scholar more knowledgeable than me? Why does he have more knowledge than me? Even hasad is there. Why does this sheikh have a larger following than me? Allahu Akbar, even in religious circles. Why is he chosen in the mashwara to give lecture in the ijtima'at more than anybody else? Why? Even in religious circles, hasad is there. Why is he more beloved to my sheikh than me? Why is he more closer to my sheikh? Why is he more wealthier? Why does he have obedient children, pious children? Why is he honored by the Muslim community? Hasad, iyaka wal hasad. Stay away from hasad. Stay away from hasad. Do not even go near hasad. Hasad is a killer. فَإِنَّ الْحَسَدَ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَتَبِ. Because hasad eats away your good deeds. Hasad eats away your good deeds just as fire eats away dry wood. So not only is hasad a sin in itself, hasad eats away all the good deeds. It is a cancer. And a person with hasad will neither find peace in this world nor the hereafter. Because it is natural that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant ni'mat to everybody. He has granted me so many favors. Maybe I am not as wealthy as you are. But Allah has granted me something else which is more in quantity than what you have. So Allah is fair to everybody, alhamdulillah. Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, Radina kismat al jabbari fina, lana ilmun walil juhale malu. We are happy with the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ali radiyallahu anhu used to say. So when he is looking at the wealthy people, he is not jealous that why are they wealthy. He is looking at it from another perspective. He is saying, I am happy with the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lana ilmun, that he has granted me ilm, and he has granted my brother wealth. So Allah has granted him ni'mat also, Allah has granted me ni'mat also, and I am very happy because ilm is better than wealth. So I am very happy. I am happy with the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lana ilmun walil juhali malu, that he has granted the ulama ilm and not much wealth. And he has granted the wealthy people wealth, but not much ilm. In fact, Allah has granted the ulama the wealth of ilm, and also the wealth. They have sufficient to look after themselves. So Allah has granted them ilm. So they are not in need of ilm elsewhere. And Allah has granted them enough to sustain themselves. So enough sustenance. So they are not in need of anybody else when it comes to sustenance as well. But when it comes to the wealthy people, Allah has granted them enough wealth to look after themselves, but they are in need of the ulama when it comes to ilm. Alhamdulillah, they have wealth. Alhamdulillah, I have ilm. I am looking at myself that Allah has granted me something which He has not given to them. And why am I happy? Because I have ilm and they have wealth, and I don't have wealth and they don't have ilm. Why am I happy? Because ilm is better. فَإِنَّ الْمَالَ يَفْنَى عَنْ كَرِيبٍ فَإِنَّ الْمَالَ يَفْنَى عَنْ قَرِيبٍ وَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ بَاقٍ لَا يَزَالُ. Because the wealth will leave the wealthy person one day, or the wealthy person will leave the wealth one day. The wealthy person will separate from his wealth, but ilm will never separate from an alim. Ilm will remain with an alim in this world, ilm will remain with an alim at the time of death, ilm will remain with an alim in the qabr, ilm will remain with an alim on the day of qiyamah, ilm will remain with the alim on the pul sirat, ilm will remain with an alim forever and ever in Jannah. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala will be Amirul Mu'mineen fil hadith even in Jannah. Forever and ever. A mufti will remain a mufti in Jannah. An alim will remain an alim in Jannah. Why should we feel jealous? Why should we feel jealous? Jealousy is a very, very dangerous illness. It snatches away our peace in this world, it snatches away the peace of the hereafter. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ahmad Pratap Ghadi Rahimahullah Ta'ala says, Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? He was a great poet. Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? Why are you burning in the fire of jealousy? Inside is always burning. Because Allah has given bounties to everybody. Very poor person, very poor person. I am very wealthy. But he is far more intelligent than I am. So Allah has given me wealth, deprived him of wealth. But Allah has granted him intelligence and deprived me of intelligence. So when I will see that person, I will feel jealous. Every person will always have something positive in his life. So if this illness of hasad is not remedied, a person will always burn in the fire of hasad all the time. Today I entertain jealousy with this particular person. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes him away from this world, because that illness is there, it has to go somewhere else. So it will find another object. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us many masnoon prayers. My friends, learn masnoon prayers. Before eating, Bismillahi wa barakatillah. After eating, Alhamdulillahi alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana muslimin. Learn masnoon prayers. Learn one masnoon dua per week. If not, then at least per month. And then practice them. There is so much good in the masnoon prayers, in the masnoon ad'iyah. The key to success is to make the heart zakir. That means the heart continually remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one great bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us to make our hearts zakir is the masnoon prayers, masnoon du'as. And especially the ulama, those people who understand the Arabic language, if they become regular with the masnoon prayers, and whilst concentrating on the meaning of that particular masnoon prayer, if they read, they will acquire the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very quickly. There is so much good. There is good in every masnoon prayer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is every good in whatever he said. There is every good in whatever he did. There is every good in whatever he taught. Some good he has explained to us in certain places. He did not explain the good that lie within that particular dua, because he knows that we accept him as the Nabi, so he knows we trust him, that there must be good in it. And even the good that he has mentioned, it is only one good from the many thousands of good that lie within a particular dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught a dua. One who reads this dua after food. Alhamdulillahi alladhi at'amani hadha ta'am wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wala quwwa. Another dua. There are many supplications that he has taught after food. The most common is the one we read, Alhamdulillahi alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana muslimin. There is another supplication, Alhamdulillahi alladhi at'amani hadha ta'am wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wala quwwa. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one who recites this dua after food, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all his past minor sins. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught another dua, that when a person before going to sleep performs wudu, and then he lies down according to the sunnah, facing the qibla with his right hand under his cheek, facing in the right direction, and then he reads this dua, Allahumma aslamtu nafsi ilayk, wa wajjahtu wajhi ilayk, wa fawwaztu amri ilayk, wa aljatu dhahri ilayk, raghbatan wa rahbatan ilayk, la malja'a wa la manja'a minka illa ilayk, amantu bi kitabika alladhi anzalt, wa nabiyyika alladhi arsalt. If he dies during that night, Allah will grant him husn khatima. So half of our life is secured. If we practice this sunnah, that we sleep in the sunnah manner and we read this dua, half the life is secured, because either we will die during the day or during the night. So if we die during the night, Allah will grant us husn khatima. We will go with iman. Allah will secure our iman. When husband and wife meet and they read this dua, Allahumma jannibna shaitan wa jannibi shaitana ma razaqtana. How short? When they meet, before cohabiting, if they read Allahumma jannibna shaitan wa jannibi shaitana ma razaqtana, how long does it take? And if as a result of that meeting a child is born, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, lam yadurrahu shaitan. Shaitan will not be able to harm that child. Look at the benefits of the prayers that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. And what is our mentality? What is our way? Oh, it's only sunnah. It's only nafal. It's not compulsory. It's not necessary. Our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that of fear only. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this thought in mind that Allah is there with a rod. And if I do this, He will punish me, so I can't do this. And if I don't do this, He will punish me, so I have to do this. Where there is no fear of punishment, we have no connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَمْ يَذُرَّهُ شَيْطَان. Shaitan will not be able to harm that child. From amongst the many things that the commentators of hadith have said, one thing they have said is that this child after being born may go astray. This child may go astray. It may go far away from deen. But because of the barakah of the dua that the parents read before this child was conceived, shaitan will not be able to take away the iman of this child. At the time of death, this child will go with iman. Because of the barakah of the prayers that the parents recited at the time of the child was conceived. If we are unable to follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we cannot find solution to the problems that we face in the modern society, is it the fault of our deen or is it our fault? The parents who are concerned about their children, how many of them recite this dua? How many parents teach their children these duas? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us one dua to recite in the morning. Once in the morning, once in the evening. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the ihsanat and the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are so many that a person is never able to repay Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his ihsanat. Dawud alayhi salatu wa sallam once turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said, "Oh Allah, I am grateful to you for everything you have given me. Oh Allah, I am grateful to you for everything you have given to me." And he was a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The quality of his shukr, Allahu Akbar. After he completed his shukr, the thought occurred to him that Allah had granted me so many favors and he commanded me to be grateful to him and I have thanked him for all the favors. This tawfiq of carrying out this amal was also a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I have to thank him for this favor now. So he said, "Oh Allah, I thank you for granting me this tawfiq to be grateful to you for all your favors." When he completed this shukr a second time, the thought occurred to him that this thought that being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was a favor of Allah and I need to be grateful to him for that favor is also a favor of Allah. So I have to be grateful to him again. So he began being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. When he completed this third shukr, again the same cycle. So he realized that it is not possible to fulfill the right of the shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he went into prostration and he said, Oh Allah, it is not possible to fulfill this command of yours, of being grateful to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Oh Dawud, al-ana shakartani. In reality, now you have been grateful to me when you have accepted that it is not possible to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his favors. It is not possible to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his favors. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one who reads this dua in the morning and one who reads this dua in the evening, on the day of Qiyamah, he will be resurrected as if he has been grateful for all the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is that dua? Allahumma ma asbaha bi min ni'matin aw bi ahadin min khalqik. Oh Allah, whatever ni'mat that I see with me or with anybody from your creatures, faminka wahdaka la sharika lak. It is only from you. It is only from you, from nobody else. It is only from you. It's not my doing, it's not doing of anybody, it is only you who has granted me the favors. And any favor that I see with anybody, it is only from you. Falak alhamdu wa laka shukr. Hamd is for you and shukra is for you. It occurred to me one day, whilst reciting this dua after the Fajr Salah, that there is a cure in this masnoon dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from two very dangerous illnesses. Kibr and hasad. Because the reciter is saying, "Oh Allah, whatever ni'mat I see with me is only from you." So why the pride? If it is from Allah, why should I be proud? And "Oh Allah, whatever ni'mat I see with anybody from your creatures is also only from you." So why the hasad? Why hasad? Allah has granted all of us ni'mat. When we look at the ni'mat which is with us, we should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, "Allah has granted me more favor than other people." And when we see favor with other people, alhamdulillah, my Muslim brother, he has favor. So I was saying, my friends, that we need to take stock of our lives. Just hasad, one hasad. Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? Why are you burning in the fire of hasad? Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? Murana Muhammad Ahmad Pratap Ghadi rahimahullah, but in his couplet he says, "Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? Kafe afsos kyun mal rahe ho? Why are you always in a state of grief? That why does he have this? Why does he have this? Why does he have this? Why isn't Allah taking this ni'mat away from him? Why always in this pain? Why are you burning in the fire of hasad? And why are you always finding yourself in grief and regret that people have so many ni'mats and they are not being snatched away?" خدا کے فیصلوں سے کیوں ہو ناراض؟ Why are you unhappy with the decree of Allah? Is it not Allah who has given him this wealth? This ni'mat? Why are you unhappy with the decree of Allah? حسد کی آگ میں کیوں جل رہے ہو؟ کفے افسوس کیوں مل رہے ہو؟ خدا کے فیصلوں سے کیوں ہو ناراض؟ جہنم کی طرف کیوں چل رہے ہو؟ Why are you treading the path towards Jahannam by entertaining this filth in your heart of jealousy and hasad? So I was saying, my friends, that even if everything was there, head to toe, the whole deen, but only one illness was there, that should have been enough to keep us occupied with the worry of the hereafter. But no. I am concluding now. So the four slaves are saying to the fifth one that, oh, you are like this, and you are like this, and you are like this. That is our condition on a daily basis. Someone praises me, I actually feel that, yes, I am what these people are saying. In fact, we feel sometimes that he has not fulfilled the right of praising me. He is short for words. The words he has chosen to praise me. What will happen to us on the day of Qiyamah, my friends? If we remain in this dream world. We are all here in the annual youth conference of the Islamic Dawah Academy to bring this concern in our lives. The objective of this conference is not entertainment. No, my friend. No. But is that why you come from all over the country? Is that why people come from abroad to attend this conference? Is that why we at the Islamic Dawah Academy exert so much effort for many weeks in preparing this conference? So much money is spent on this conference? No. There is only one aim, one objective. The people come here. They realize the objectives of their lives. And they leave from here with this firm resolution that our objective is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our objective is the love for Allah. Our objective is the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our objective is to connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that we become successful in the hereafter. And they leave from here with this firm resolution that time has come to change my life now. This is the only objective. Wallah, there is no other objective. Wallahi lazim. Let us go with this concern. Let us go with this worry. Let us repent immediately now. Now. Not that I will repent when I go home. I will repent at the time of dua. I will repent between Asr and Maghrib. No, repent now. Do not say, I will repent. Oh Allah, I have repented. I have repented. أَلَمْ يَعْنَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَكْشَأَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Has that time not come for the mu'mineen that their hearts should submit to the will of the Creator? Yes, that time has come. Say that kind. Say within your heart, say to Allah that, oh Allah, that time has come. My heart has submitted to your heart. Not it will submit. It has submitted. My body has submitted. From today, I will do only that pleases you. And I will stay away from everything that displeases you. This is the only path to solve our individual problems, and this is the only path to solve our collective problems as an ummah. The ummah is finding itself in such turmoil throughout the world because it has disconnected itself from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no other solution. This is the only solution. For Muslims, there is no other solution. The only solution for Muslims is deen. The only solution for Muslims is sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The only solution for the Muslims is Quran. The only solution is connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no other solution. There is no other solution. My friends, my brothers, my elders, my sisters, this step today. Make this firm resolution. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there ready to accept our tawbah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَبْسُطُ يَدَهُ بِاللَّيْلِ لِيَتُوبَ مُسِيءُ النَّهَارِ وَيَبْسُطُ يَدَهُ بِالنَّهَارِ لِيَتُوبَ مُسِيءُ اللَّيْلِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that daily, from Subah Sadiq until Maghrib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there with his hands stretched out saying that, oh, the sinner during the night, come to me, I am here to forgive your sins. And then from Maghrib until Subah Sadiq, he is there with his hands stretched out saying that, oh, the one who has sinned during the day, come to me, I am here to forgive your sins. He is ready at all times. And I always say to my friends that the most blessed day, the most blessed moment is not Yawmul Jumu'ah, or is not Shabi Qadr, or is not when we go to Makkah Mukarramah. The most blessed place is not Makkah Mukarramah, is not Madinah Munawwara. For an individual, the most blessed place is that place where he says, oh Allah, I have repented, I am yours from today. And for an individual, the most blessed moment is that moment when he says, oh Allah, I have repented, I am yours from today. Make this moment a blessed moment. Turn to Allah, repent. These four are praising the fifth one, and the fifth one is quiet. No smile on his face, no pride, no arrogance. So after 10-15 minutes they say that we are praising you so much and there is no happiness on your face. He says, yes, you are praising me, but I am a slave and you are also a slave. Slave praising a slave? It's not anything to be happy about. We are saved. If my master praises me, then I will be happy. If my master praises me. Today, my friend, Maulana is praising me. You are praising me. I am praising you. We are all slaves. Slaves praising slaves. Slaves praising slaves. We will only be able to become happy where on the day of Qiyamah. Our master will be standing in front of him in his court. He says, that, oh my servant, I am happy with you. You are like this and you are like that. Go, I am giving you entry into Jannah. That will be the moment of happiness for us. فَمَنْ زُهْزِهَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَاز. One who is saved from the fire of Jahannam and one who is granted entry into Jannah, indeed, he has become successful. And thereafter, Allama Sayyid Suleiman Nadvi Rahimahullahu Ta'ala used to say, he used to recite a couplet, Aise rahe ya ke vaise rahe. In this world, aise rahe ya ke vaise rahe. We live like this or we live like that in this world. Healthy or sick, poor or wealthy, honored or disgraced. Aise rahe ya ke vaise rahe. In this world, however we live, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't matter. Aise rahe ya ke vaise rahe. Wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. The decisive matter is, how do we fare on the day of Qiyamah when we stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Imam Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala, when being praised, used to say, Allahumma anta a'lamu bi min nafsi. Oh Allah, you know me more than I know myself. Wa ana a'lamu bi. Wa ana a'lamu bi nafsi min an-nas. And I know myself more better than the people. So you know me more better than I know myself, and I know myself more better than the people. One Adam binafsi min annas. Allah, I know it's not a reality. His praise is not a reality. I know my life. My life is full of darkness. My life is full of filth. Allahumma gfirli ma la ya'lamun. Allahumma gfirli ma la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, forgive me for that filth which they are not aware of. They don't know what I do in the darkness of the night. They don't know what I do behind closed doors. They don't know what I do in my private life. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me so that it remains concealed even on the day of Qiyamah. Oh Allah, forgive me. وَلَا تُؤَخِذْنِي بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. And oh Allah, do not hold me on the day of Qiyamah. Do not question me on the day of Qiyamah regarding what they are saying. They are praising me. They are saying good things about me. Oh Allah, grant me the tawfiq to become like what they are saying, so that on the day of Qiyamah you will not question me that they were saying this about you. Were you like that? Were you like that? And I concealed all your faults and I made people praise you despite that. Despite that, you did not make a U-turn. Despite that, you did not make a U-turn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us status, grants us honor in this world, so that we reflect that despite all my disobediences, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is treating me this way. Should I not make a U-turn and change my lifestyle and become like the way He wants me to be? Let us go from here with this firm resolution that from today we will only do that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will stay away from everything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we have learned today here from the ulama, from this gathering, we will implement. And thereafter, according to the ease and according to the facilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us, we will connect ourselves to the ulama, to the mashayikh in our localities. We will sit in their company. We will benefit from them. We will learn from them. And we will make our a'mal better. We will make our filthy hearts pure. And whilst learning and implementing what we learn, we will also worry about the rest of the ummah. We will go door to door, knock on the doors of the people, and try to bring them towards what we have learned, what we have made our goal to be. We will also leave our homes. We will go into other towns, other cities, other countries, and also remind people. We will try to wake them up from their slumber. This way, my friends, we ourselves will become good Muslims. And we will become a means of other members of the ummah become good Muslims. And when we as the ummah become good Muslims, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help will descend upon us. This is the promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything is ours if we become good Muslims, practicing Muslims. Good Muslims, practicing Muslims, everything is ours. This world is ours. The hereafter is ours. کہ محمد سے وفا تو نے تو ہم تیرے ہیں. یہ جہاں چیز ہے کیا لوح و قلم تیرے ہیں. کہ محمد سے وفا, if you are faithful to the deen that محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم brought, کہ محمد سے وفا تو نے تو ہم تیرے ہیں, then we are yours, Allah is ours. کہ محمد سے وفا تو نے تو ہم تیرے ہیں, if you are loyal to the deen brought by محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, then Allah is yours. یہ جہاں چیز ہے کیا, what is this world? You are concerned about Afghanistan? You are concerned about Saudi Arabia? You are concerned about UK? You are concerned about Pakistan? Ye jahan cheez hai kya? Very small world. Ye jahan cheez, what is this world? Loho kalam tere hai. Loho kalam, the taqdeer will become yours. The taqdeer will become yours. Rubba rajulin ash'as wa aghbar wa matfuyin bil abwab law aqsam ala Allahi la abarra. When a person becomes a true Muslim, when a person connects himself to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he raises his hand and he says, oh Allah, I swear by you, you have to do this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will even change the takdeer and do what his servant is telling him to do. Agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri, tu ek mera to sab mera, falak mera, zami meri. If you are not mine, then nothing is mine. If you are mine, everything is mine, the heavens are mine, and the earth is mine. Let us connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us connect ourselves to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us connect ourselves to the sharia brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Agar jannat ka irada hai tum tamam hi ka, to gale mein tok dal do Muhammad ki gulami ka. If you have desire for jannah, then become the slave to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his teachings. Teri miraj ke tu loh o kalam tak pahuncha. Your miraj is that you reached loh, you reached kalam, you saw jannat, you saw jahannam, you met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is your miraj. And what is my miraj? Teri miraj ke tu loh o kalam tak pahuncha. Meri miraj ke mere tere kadam tak pahuncha. My miraj is that I have reached your footsteps and I have followed into your footsteps until I reach jannat. Let us make a firm resolution, my friends, that from today we will learn deen from authentic, reliable sources, from authentic ulama, authentic muftis. Mufti Google, Monana Google, no. Totally unreliable. For any ilm to be reliable, the chain has to be reliable. For any ilm to be reliable, chain has to be reliable. Ilm is deen. If ilm is there, deen is there. If a person doesn't have ilm, he doesn't have deen. Ilm is deen. Inna hadal ilm deenun. Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah ta'ala. Ilm is deen. If ilm is correct, deen is correct. If ilm is incorrect, deen is incorrect. Ilm is correct if the chain is correct. Ilm is incorrect if the chain is incorrect. If there is no chain, if there is no chain, no chain. A doctor with his self-study becomes a great scholar. There is no chain, so there is no ilm. Without chain, ilm doesn't exist. Ilm, if ilm, chain, ilm. No chain, no ilm. No ilm, no deen. So chain. If the chain is there, ilm is there. If ilm is there, deen is there. If the chain is incorrect, unauthentic, ilm is unauthentic. Deen is unauthentic. If the chain is authentic, ilm is authentic. Ilm is authentic, deen is authentic. So authentic ilm, practice that ilm, propagate that ilm. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the acceptance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread hidayah throughout the world, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlighten the hearts of each and every human. Each and every human with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the love of His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all acceptance and grant us all the tawfiq to remain steadfast on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until we breathe our last. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما أنت أعلم به منا. أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر, لا إله إلا أنت يا رب كل شيء بقدرتك على كل شيء. اغفر لنا كل شيء حتى لا تسألنا عن شيء. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم إنا نسألك فعل الخيرات وترك المنكرات وحب المساكين وأن تغفر لنا وترحمنا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل, ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل. إنا
اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الخاتمة اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الخاتمة اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الخاتمة اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين اللهم ألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم اجمع كلمتهم اللهم اجمع كلمتهم على الحق اللهم اجمع كلمتهم على الحق ووحد صفوفهم اللهم أنقذ إخواننا المسلمين المظلومين في كل مكان اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك واجعل اللهم آمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلاد المسلمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الإيمان اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهدك عنا سترك اللهم لا تهدك عنا سترك اللهم لا تهدك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم اجعل حبك أحب الأشياء إلينا اللهم ربنا اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولأهلنا ولمحبينا ولمحسنينا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين واجعلنا من المتطهرين واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين المخلصين المخلصين المحبوبين المتقين اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المقربين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.